Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace.
Well, continuing our examination of 1 Corinthians chapter 5, we've gotten into the area of church membership. And a lot of what is taught in this chapter about church membership is more by way of implication than direct doctrine, direct exhortation. But as we see how the church operated, we see what the church did in dealing with this wayward member who was living in immorality. When we see how the church government operated, and we see how the church's membership, and there I use that term, how the people who belong to this church, it's just hard to talk about this without using membership language. For people who have difficulty believing that the Bible teaches formal membership in a church, they're really overlooking an awful lot of things. And it's true that many of the things that are taught in this area, in the scriptures, are more by way of implication than direct instruction, but the implications are so obvious, so clear, so strong, that they cannot be ignored, denied, or avoided. Just because something is not taught in the language that you would like to have it taught doesn't mean that it's not taught. I've used the illustration of the Trinity. You will not find the word Trinity in the Bible. Jehovah's Witnesses love to point that out. The Bible doesn't use the word Trinity. Why do you believe in the doctrine of the Trinity? Does the fact that the Bible does not use that term, Trinity, mean that the Bible does not teach that God exists eternally in three persons, one God, three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you have to use the term Trinity to certify that the Bible teaches the doctrine of the Trinity? Of course not. Do you have to have the exact language of church membership that some people would need to have in order to be satisfied that the Bible teaches it, in order to be convinced that the Bible does teach it? Well, I think not. If the Bible teaches it in other language and in other ways, then we have to recognize what the Bible teaches. We can't demand that Scripture be written in the way that we would write it, the way that we think it ought to be written. What kind of audacity is that? We need to study what the Scripture says and accept it, believe it, surrender to it, bow to it. And that's what I'm trying to help you with in this area of church membership. So thank you for joining me on this Tuesday, August 17. And thanks for the financial gifts that keep us teaching on this station. Church membership. Well, we're talking now at this point about what do you do when you move from one church to another. The whole idea of removal and relocation. Removing yourself from one church and relocating to another church. We saw an example of that in Acts chapter 9 when Paul did that, removing himself from the church at Damascus and relocating in the church at Jerusalem. And there was a process for him to apply for membership and to have that membership accepted. And I've already dealt with that. But there are other indications in Scripture of different techniques, different operations that were in place in the New Testament in order to carry out this whole idea of removals and relocations, or transfer of membership, as we sometimes call it. Now, I think a couple of broadcasts ago, I pointed out to you the language of 2 Corinthians chapter 3 in the area of letters of recommendation. And generally, when we're talking about transferring membership, at least in Baptist churches, but I know in other churches as well, I don't know, I couldn't say in all other churches, but I'm aware of other churches besides Baptist churches that follow the same practice. It is customary for there to be communication between churches in regard to this person's relocation. And that's the way it ought to be done. The church to whom the relocating person applies for membership should customarily contact the former church and ask for, and sometimes we call it a letter of transfer, sometimes we call it a letter of recommendation, but ask for communication from that church that this person is indeed a member in good standing in the church which they are leaving, and that there's no barriers as far as their church is concerned. There's no barriers to their being received into a church in this new location. That's the right way to do it. Communication between churches. These letters of recommendation are to be understood as communications from one church to another. The First Baptist Church of Appleville is happy to commend to you brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so as members into your church. They are members in good standing in our church. They have a good testimony among us. We have found them to be genuine in their Christian profession, in their Christian life and activity, and we have no reservations in recommending them to you for to be received into membership in your church. The wording may not be exactly like that, but that's the general idea, and I think you can understand that. And so the First Baptist Church of, what did I say, Appleville, sends that church to, that letter to the First Baptist Church of Pineville. And Pineville, receiving the letter, then officially receives that person into membership. It's a technicality, it's a process, and to some people it's an unnecessary formality, and it's just ignored in many cases. It shouldn't be, but it is in many cases simply ignored. There are churches that will receive people into membership without ever inquiring or even notifying their former church that they have been received. In fact, we have had the experience of having members of our church move to another city, be received into another church, and so they tell us, we have been received into such and such a church, and we say something like, we are waiting to hear from them, and some more time passes and we don't hear from that church. So we don't have any official recognition that they have been received into membership in the other church. Sometimes we will contact the church, call the church, write the church, ask the church for a letter, for a communication, so that we can send a letter of recommendation, and in that way, in an orderly way, remove them from membership in our church and deposit them, as it were, into the membership of the receiving church. That's the way it ought to be done. Now, I pointed to one scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 that, though it doesn't deal specifically with the idea of church membership, it does very much deal with the principle of letters of recommendation, which were used in the early church not only for membership, but also for other matters, which I will point out as I return to this passage, which I looked at two or three broadcasts ago. But here Paul says, writing to the church at Corinth, "Do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or do we," this is Paul and his missionary chain, "do we need, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you?" Do we need that? "You are our epistles, written in our hearts, known and read of all men." Evidently, Well, very clearly from this passage, the idea of letters of recommendation was a well-known practice. And there were traveling teachers who had come to Corinth and presented their letters of recommendation. We don't know who they were and where these letters came from, but we do find the reference to them here. And Paul is saying, do I need that from you? Do I need that from someone else to be recognized by you, to be received by you, so that I can minister in your church? And do I need letters of recommendation from you? You know me. Paul had planted the church in Corinth. Paul had preached the gospel in a city where there were no Christians. Paul had done the work of a missionary. Paul had evangelized there. Paul had planted the church. Paul had labored there for nearly 2 years in teaching those people and establishing a church. They knew him intimately. They heard him preach. They knew his doctrine. They knew his life. They'd examined all of that. So the idea that Paul would need a letter of recommendation in order to be recognized by that church was, of course, a ridiculous idea. You don't need that. You know me. Knowing me personally, my life, my testimony, my doctrine, everything about me, that's better than a letter. A letter is good as far as it goes, but a letter is something that is incorporated when you don't really know the person. That's the whole reason for it. Somebody shows up in a new town and they apply for membership in a church, and obviously they put their best foot forward, and you don't have any red flags that tell you, probably don't have any red flags that tell you that this is a bad idea to receive them into your church. If there are red flags, of course, you better deal with them, but you don't see any red flags, but you don't know anything about the life and history and testimony of that person. Well, who does? His former church. You contact the former church. I will, from time to time, do this very personally, in an informal way, before we even get to the formal letter of recommendation, which we can read to our congregation. But sometimes, depending if I know the pastor or not, I will get on the phone with Pastor so-and-so and say, this person has been attending our church and has applied, or at least shown an interest in membership in our church. Well, I wouldn't do this unless they've applied, unless they've specifically asked about church membership. This person has applied for membership in our church, and we don't want to do that unless it meets your approval. Can you tell me if there's any reason why we should not move forward with this membership application? I did this, it's been a few months ago now, but I did this not too long ago from a man that was moving from a church in our area to our church. And I know the pastor personally, I've known him for many years, probably 30, 40 years actually. And I called him and talked to him about it. And he knew that the young man had left their church and was attending our church, and there was a reason for it, which I won't go into now. And he said, no, there is no barrier, there's no problem, no reason. We would be happy to commend him to your congregation. And we said, thank you very much. And we moved ahead with the application. And we subsequently received a formal letter of recommendation from that church. That's the point. That's the procedure. And that's what Paul is referring to here. Letters of recommendation. It was a practice of the early New Testament church. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.